He stopped, his hands frozen where they had started their task. They had parked the wag in the middle of the lot, and Ryan saw the pinpoints of torchlight in the distantville as the people reorganized. For a moment, his memory brought up that nightmarish vision of the boarding house basement and the horrors it contained, and his gorge rose at the sudden thought that they might have partaken of some of that as well. He restrained it with an effort, telling himself that it was only vegetable soup they'd eaten. He wasn't sure he believed that, but he clung to the thought like a drowning man, for to lose it was to risk a descent into madness. But if they turned and left, what would stop this helltown from continuing their atrocities on the next convoy that came through the area? What might happen if they killed everyone around? Would they begin foraging farther for human flesh to eat? Would they fall upon Toma like the slavering wolves they were, gorging themselves at that waiting feast? If they had taken another route, it was likely they would have passed this quaint little ville by and never been the wiser, but they hadn't. And now here they were with two paths to choose from, one leading to freedom and safety, and letting a monstrous evil survive to prey on the unknowing, and the other down a dangerous path that could see them injured or even killed. The first was obviously the wiser choice, but Ryan didn't think he could live with himself if he drove away and let this ville continue to exist.
We're going back in.
I'll spread the word and man the rear gun.
No, I'll do it. Get to the rear.
She did, and Ryan turned to face the others.
We're going back. I want to wipe these fucking Kenny bastards from the face of the earth. Make sure no one gets close. Wipe them all out.
Burn them?
Not unless we can do it from the wag. No one's going outside.
Give me a minute. I have to swap the belt and the main gun for tracer rounds.
You got 90 seconds.
Except for the sounds of JB switching the ammo, the lab was silent. Ryan didn't care how they were preparing for what they were about to do, as long as they were getting in the right mindset. A few moments later, JB dropped into his chair.
Turret's ready.
Front blaster ready.
Rear blaster ready.
Ryan pulled out onto the road, driving slowly back toward the ville. His mouth was dry, and he swallowed to ease his throat. He'd killed many before in his life, including some extremely evil bastards, but could think of few who deserved it more than these people, who extended a hand in seeming peace and friendship, only to cut your throat with a blade hidden in the other.
Going a mite slow.
I want him to know what's coming. Soon as you have targets in range, light them up.
In range in 3, 2, 1.
JB put short bursts into the buildings lining the left side of the road. The tracers flashed out like giant orange fireflies that punched through doors and walls to roost in each home. Moments after each one hit, flames flared, causing small forms to spill from the doors and in several cases jump from second-story windows. The armorer was methodical, spraying each building with short controlled bursts until it ignited. Ryan turned left down Hudson Street and proceeded until they were at Grandma Flanagan's boarding house again, with JB torching every building they passed along the way.
Destroy it!
JB sent a long burst into the house, ensuring that it caught. By now, the entire southeastern quadrant of the town was burning, with the wind from the east spreading the hungry flames to more buildings. Ryan relentlessly kept on his path of destruction, finding the ville's main street and turning onto it. JB was about to continue his controlled burn when he noticed what was ahead of them. A double line of horsemen, about 20 in each row, had assembled in the street about 50 yards down, every rider carrying a firearm and a torch. Catching furtive movement in the shadows of storefronts and on rooftops, Ryan glanced around to see more armed townspeople taking up positions for their last stand.
Ryan?
The second you see one fire, unload on him. JB, take the roof positions out. Christy, make sure no one gets behind us.
For several long moments, no one on the street moved. Then, the leader kicked his horse forward into a full charge, bringing his weapon to his shoulder and firing at the armored war wag. The rest of the line hurried to catch up, weapons leveled, bullets pinging off the thick armor plate. A second later, all hell broke loose. Jack opened up with a 7.62mm machine gun, spitting Full Metal Jacketed Death at the line, chewing into the ragtag cavalry galloping toward them. Ryan hadn't been idle either. As soon as the first man had burst forward, he'd stomped on the gas, the wag accelerating toward the suicidal men and horses. The front gun kept sending men and animals crashing down in tangled piles of horses and riders, but there was still enough left to form a weak barrier when the wag swept into them. The 10-ton behemoth mowed them down. The horses' riders flew through the air, either killed from the wag's impact or when they hit the ground. If by some miracle they were still alive, they were crushed under the inexorably advancing vehicle, belching fire from its front, top, and back like some strange three-headed monster. At the end of the street, Ryan cranked the wheel and turned the lav. The main thoroughfare of Poinette was now a ravaged killing field. Bodies of men and horses littered the street, either pulverized by bullets, crushed by the war wag, or both. Storefronts were riddled from dozens of light machine gun rounds, many with smoking bodies sprawled on the sidewalk outside or dangling half out of windows. The air inside the wag was hot and smoky, and Ryan's throat was parched. Still, he cruised down the street one more time, trying to draw out any last pockets of resistance so they could be destroyed. The front and rear guns chattered only sporadically now, with Jack and Christy mopping up any stragglers. JB tapped Ryan on the shoulder.
Nothing more to do here. Fire will burn the rest.
Yeah.
Ryan turned down a side street and drove back to the main road out of the ville, heading toward the guard post. Along the way, they saw the carved wooden sign. Poinette. Population 174.
JB?
The sign and post were obliterated, leaving only a shattered stump behind. The guard post was deserted, the men most likely lying dead on Main Street. Ryan drove straight through the wooden barrier and headed down the road, the red and orange flames of the burning ville lighting the night sky behind him.